And generally speaking, it's at this time that we welcome the plumbing boss, Barry Chapman, into the studio because we're chatting with Chapman and he's in today to talk about, well, a number of issues that you will find ultimately of value if you are doing alterations, repairs, extensions, renovations, new builds. Plumbing is at the heart of any structure, and good plumbing can make or break your experience in terms of, was it joyful and joyous and effective, or was it a nightmare? And I'm sure you've experienced lots of nightmares, Barry. Not that you've created them, but you've often been called in to sort them out. And I wanted to ask you this question to start with, simply because it's something that we're experiencing right now in Cape Town. We've just done a little reno of an apartment. And the team was definitely not of your sort of caliber, I'm sorry to say. And as a result, we've had an inspector going through just to double check, and they have firstly identified a leak in the bathroom. Now, I believe that the new style of plumbing piping is to go from non-metal to a kind of a hardened plastic type of piping. And if that is the case, how then, if you are needing to repair a leak, do you identify where the pipe is? Because that little machine that you roll on the wall that normally reads the metal content presumably doesn't work.
So we've all moved away from the traditional copper piping. One naturally is theft because it's got such a high value to it, and two, our multi-layer piping that we're working with now is a lot more fail-proof. If you're using the correct pipe, so majority of the well-known plumbers and stuff like that are using one of two brands on the market. Both of them have got an aluminium layer in the middle of the pipe.
So the machine to detect the pipes will pick it up.
Which it still picks up a non-magnetic signature in the wall in that pipe. There are a couple of piping systems on the market that are fully plastic or PEX, which granted makes it a little more difficult to pick it up. There's probably only one that's just a straight PEX product that I would go and chase into a wall. But I don't, for that specific reason, that when one needs to locate a pipe, you can still do it with a locator.
And traditionally, when something has been plumbed fairly recently and a leak has been detected, would it be a leak generally from a junction? Because I presume the pipe is pretty good.
So, I mean, over the last 20 years of us being in the industry, I've experienced in the multi-layer piping, I've experienced two pipe failures where the pipe itself has a manufacturing fault in it. But that's two failures out of how many tens of thousands of meters we've installed over the many years. Generally, it's a fitting, and it's generally a installation error from the contractor's perspective. We've done it in the past as well, where you don't ream a fitting out properly and you put it in. But that's where it's so important that when all your pipes are pressurized and exposed, you pressurize them up a little bit more than your standard domestic and you leave it open to make sure that there are no leaks in the property. That's a standard practice from our side, is especially on a new build. We flush all the lines out nicely. We cut the ends off that we've blocked off for our first fix. And then we'll terminate everything. We'll put the mixers in. We'll put our stop ends in for our angle valves at your basins and sinks and all of those wonderful things. And then we pressurize the system. And then the system must be under pressure for the entirety of the project. It's not this, let's just turn it off and carry on working around it. Because that is such a crucial part of your plumbing, your building's infrastructure is the plumbing. So important to have it under pressure. The one is that if there is or happens to be a fault in the plumbing or pressure system, that it gets picked up very quickly. But also, two, you've got so many other trades that are working in and around that building on piping. And if a wall's been plastered closed and a guy just picks up a drill because he's putting a ceiling up or putting a door frame in or whatever and just happens to drill into your pipe, it's under pressure, so it gives them a good squirt. We've had people putting up picture frames on the back of a bathroom wall, and instead of drilling just enough for the picture frame hook to go in, the oak wants to put a 6-inch screw inside there or drill a 6-inch hole for a tiny little 1-inch screw, and they drill into the pipes in the bathroom.
Jeez.
And that's the reason why things are left under pressure, for that particular reason, that if that happens or if there's a failure, either a product failure or an installation failure, that it is picked up in quick time.
And can be remedied timelessly and speedily and hopefully by someone a little bit more qualified than the original fitter. Last week we were talking about the ingress of sand, soil, foreign matter into water pipes after the repair of yes. pipes. And the damage caused if there happens to be soil in the pipe from the repair as it goes through your property, etc. And then your solution was a filter that is very simple, easy to install, will save you a bomb. And isn't it just peculiar that exactly what we were talking about happened to one of my team shortly after our conversation in Seaward Estate? Exactly what happened. And they have a serious damage to a toilet as a result of earth being washed through the pipes. It just goes to show. And yet, we listen to these conversations and think, something I'm going to do one of these days. But preventative maintenance is, you know, it's like a stitch in time saving nine. And, of course, it's never going to happen to me until it does.
Yeah,
and then you kick yourself for not having done it. But in reality, preventative maintenance right now, what would you say, would you recommend for the homeowner to be looking at as a matter of urgency?
So straight off the bat, I would be from a prevention perspective is one, that little filter that gets installed on your mains inlet. That's now going to safeguard sediment and everything coming into your property and protecting the likes of your toilet refill mechanisms, your mixers in your house, which are very expensive. You spend lots of money on those mixers and taps and everything to make it work, your dishwashers, washing machines, the whole bang shoot. But it goes as far as your geyser, the thing that heats your water in your house. Now, a lot more people have gone energy efficient. They're now putting gas geysers, or they've got heat pumps in as well. Heat pumps have got built-in strainers inside them. Now they get blocked up. Now it's not just something you can sort out yourself. You've got to now call a professional to come in and sort out a blockage on the inlet to a gas geyser or a heat pump system. So definitely from that perspective, safeguard the water inflow into your property.
And it's a simple exercise. It's really, from what I gather from last week's conversation, it's not a particularly onerous task, not a particularly expensive task.
No.
It's just something that's going to save you, give you peace of mind in the first place, save you a fortune. And let's face it, with aging infrastructure, the propensity for repairs to be conducted is getting greater and greater.
100%.
Almost guaranteed that at some stage you are going to have workmen digging up your pipes outside your property, and luckily, hopefully, it's going to be on the municipal side of the supply, so you won't be billed for the water loss. But the damage that will come through those pipes in the form of suspended solids, soil, earth, etc., which is unavoidable, that is going to be a costly exercise if you do not have the kind of safety precaution in place that we're talking about. What else?
So one thing that a lot of people aren't educated about is your standard electric water heater, your geyser that sits inside your roof and your garage on a wall outside, wherever it is. The thing that makes you hot water, the good old-fashioned way. That has a sacrificial anode inside it. So the anode is put inside the geyser to slowly degrade and break away so that the electrolysis and everything that's inside the water doesn't eat away on the cylinder, which is the reason why geysers burst. So 9 out of 10 times when we go replace a burst geyser, it's because the anode is completely finished. So the sacrificial anode has seen its lifespan out. It now has nothing else for it to eat, so it now starts munching away and corroding the geyser vessel itself. We generally, as a standard practice, if we go out to a client's house, go and replace elements or a thermostat or gasket, element and gasket. When we open the geyser vessel up to replace a component, we do an inspection on the anode. If the anode needs replacing, they're like $350. You do it at the same time. The only problem comes in with that as well is if it is left for a seriously extended period of time, it rusts in place and you cannot open the nut.
Oy.
Now, there's other people out there that go, oh, don't worry, you can just take an anode and throw it inside the geyser. It needs to make contact with the steel vessel of the geyser. Otherwise, there's no grounding to the vessel. You'll open the geyser up in another 2 years' time and the thing won't have even had one little pit mark in it. So that's the important part there, is that it has to be bonded to the geyser.
How, on average, how long do these sacrificial anodes last?
Generally about 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years.
So longer than your geyser's lifespan, hopefully. 100%,
yeah.
So this is something that you should attend to fairly regularly.
So I've got quite a parade client of mine down in Sheffield. Literally from me being an apprentice to today, on an annual basis, we go out and we do a little bit of general maintenance around the house and we replace the anodes on the geyser. Still the same geyser from when I originally started.
Wow, just because the anode has been replaced. Yeah. So the geyser, extending the geyser life and saving a fortune in the process.
Drastically, yeah. So then the other thing from general maintenance side of thing is, you know, a routine camera inspection. You kind of get the guys in to come do a one sweep through the house, you know, to have a camera inspection, especially if you're one of those houses that's got lots of trees and stuff inside your garden. Massive issue is tree roots growing into pipelines, and that's also, you know, you either jet it out or rotor rooter it out, clean it out, or in really bad cases you've got to open it up and replace the specific sections of pipes. So from that aspect, you know, those are the basic fundamentals that you do. We go through the house, we go and check taps and mixers. Are they closing properly? Are they stiff? Do they need a lubricant? Does tap's head need any packing on it? We spoke about the garden tap with the little gland nuts on the top of it leaking in the garden. So all of those things. It's literally you come into the property, start point A, and then work your way through. And you're just updating the client with the things that you find. What is essential? What can sit and wait? You know, just enlightening them on the current situation of plumbing in their house.
Stitch in time, saving nine. In the case of plumbing, it's a no-brainer. A little bit of maintenance, preventative maintenance, is going to keep things flowing and keep your peace of mind factor high, which is incredibly important in the stressful times that we're living in. So give Chapman Plumbing a ring. Make an appointment for Barry or one of his team to pop out and give you the once over. It's ultimately going to save you a lot of money, and it's going to give you, as I say, the peace of mind. That bottom line is almost priceless. So Barry, thanks for that conversation.
No problem.
Look forward to a catch up in a week's time. And if you've just joined us and were fascinated by the last couple of minutes, but you wish you'd heard it from the beginning, good news is you can. It'll be available as a podcast very, very, very shortly, either on our dedicated apps, free to download from the App Store or the Play Store, or you pop onto our website, find the afternoon show, look for Barry's very gorgeous visage, and you'll be able to hear that conversation again. Once again, chatting with Chapman, and the afternoon show continues.